you need a bit of
moonshot treatment.
Yeah, you're jumping like a real live wire. Need a bit of
moonshot treatment.
Now look out, mister, don't you blow your last resistor for a sister that'll mystify ya.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Rainbow Asylum, your favorite thing to do Sunday night, and mine too. My name is the head nurse, Mike Sturr, and I will be your glorious host this evening. And joining me, as always, is the decrepit old gimp.
Hello, listening audience. Welcome to another episode of the Rainbow Asylum. Glad to be back in the studio live. I know last week we did a rerun because I was in the hospital, but contrary to the head nurse's wishes, I am not dead yet. And for the record, the nurse is older than me.
I am classier than you is the term I would use there. I am more finely aged. I am more trendy and retro than you.
I don't know. I'm pretty retro.
If by retro you mean tired, boring, old.
Old? I'm not even 30 yet.
No, I mean old as in like so last week. So last year. Just so.
Well, the nurse is obviously being her usual total bitch of herself tonight, so it should be a good show.
Woohoo! Hooray for being a total bitch. Hooray. I'm just following in the footsteps of so many bitches who have blazed a trail before me. Don't you hear the click of our heels just marching in unison on the backs of the people that we... that have to put up with our shit? Don't you just love it? Don't you just love the sound of my spike heels digging into the gimp's back?
I don't get paid enough to put up with your horse shit.
Well, so if zero, getting paid zero is too much, then you would actually, you're saying that a better amount would be like negative, but for you to get paid negative, that means you would have to be paying me. So the answer is really, I'm not getting paid enough to do this. Oh, I love math. Math is so fun. So is that check in the mail yet? Woohoo! I do take PayPal.
I'm more likely to send you gorilla shit.
Well, I'm just waiting for my free copy of your new book and a signed one at that. But no! Every day I go out to the mailbox and I open the mailbox and poof, it's still not there. And I just think, why wouldn't my co-host not send me an autographed copy of his new book without even being asked? That should have shown up gift wrapped on my doorstep by FedEx overnight the very day it came out. Like, actually, I should have gotten an advance copy. But no. No.
Hey,
no. There was a limited edition, and I didn't even get one.
Wait,
what's up with that?
Are you talking about Reading Sludge or Last Penn City Blues? Because Reading Sludge isn't a limited edition. Last Penn City Blues is.
Oh, I mean, was there more than one? I don't really, they all blur together.
Yeah, I had two come out basically back to back. Last Kent City Blues came out first, and then like 3 weeks later, Reading Sludge was officially released.
So can I just like, I mean, no offense, but are these actually like being published by an actual publisher, or are you like paying to get them printed?
Oh no, I don't believe in, pay to play. Last Kent City Blues is put out by Drafty Attic Press, and Reading Sludge is put out by Reading Match Press.
So you're saying that an actual publisher voluntarily published your work?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. We might have to upgrade you from. Oh, no, never mind. You're still a GIMP. But that's pretty impressive for a GIMP.
I think I'll just learn to take the compliment for once.
Well, while you're at it, why don't you play a song?
Yeah, probably a good idea. Here's one from the GIMP's bottomless stash of bootlegs. Here's the original version of Hank III's Go Fuck You.
Are you waiting for me to react to that or what?
Well, normally you lead in. I didn't want to steal your thunder.
Well, thank you, but I have nothing to say.
That's a rarity. Well, I have something to say. I think we should get ready to take a phone call here. That's what I think.
All
Anyone
right,
else?
well. Since I'm lounging on the couch and I have absolutely no control over the soundboard tonight, other than your obedience, go ahead and take the phone call.
I'm taking a phone call. It's dialing right now. It's going to pick up.
The U-mail user at 614.
Ah, bleeding Christ. We get an answering machine, it always happens.
Are you allowed to tell us who that was going to be?
Yes, sir. Well, you remember, was it last year when we had Tom Morgan on, that activist out of Ohio?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
He's getting married next weekend, and I thought it would have been nice if we would have called him while we were on here and wished him a congratulations on his upcoming nuptials. And I was trying to give you an opportunity to show your ladylike characteristics.
Oh, is that what you call it? Well, maybe we'll get a chance a little bit later in the show.
Mayhap we will.
So, since there's absolutely nothing interesting about you, why don't you ask me some questions about me and I'll tell you all about how interesting I am.
Why the hell would I want to ask any questions about you? Dude, I want to say we've been on the air together for almost 2 years. I think I know everything there is to know about you.
Well, because obviously the interview that you lined up for the first half hour flopped, and now we don't have any material for the first half hour. So
Who
I'm
said it
just
was an interview?
offering,
It was a simple call of congratulations, not an interview.
I'm just taking one for the team and offering myself up for your amusement. Excuse me, for you to, for your attention, for my attention-seeking pleasure. Or you can play more music.
I think I'm going to play more music while I think of things to ask you that anybody would actually give two shits about.
Do.
In the meantime, here's a Dropkick Murphys.
One's for the workers who toiled night and day, by hand and by brain, to earn your pay for centuries long past, for no more than your bread, have bled for your countries and counted your dead. And the factories and mills and the
Well, oh my goodness. You have actually played two awesome songs so far in less than a half an hour. I am just shocked.
There's plenty more good music coming your way from the Sound Gimp. Although, I did think of a question that I wanted to ask. It was really a question I wanted to ask in private, but fuck it, I'll ask it on the air. A recent Facebook post of yours, how to put it? Let's see if I how I can actually describe this to the listening audience. I don't want to say you were acting as an apologist to the 1%, but it certainly seemed that way. Would you care to elaborate?
Oh, which one was that? The one about making wealthy people into an oppressed minority?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Right here,
and I quote, "Turning the rich into an oppressed minority and targeting them for fiscal abuse is just duplicating the systems of harm that already exist. It's not revolutionary, it's reactionary, the existing status quo." Can you elaborate?
So, you know, I don't remember. I noticed that too, because so being a libertarian, I'm really not right wing or left wing, right? So I'm a fiscal libertarian and I'm a civil libertarian. So on whether it's a social issue or an economic issue, well, really there's no difference, right? Because economic liberty is the ability for the individual to prosper. And that's what's going to lift, you know, the impoverished out of poverty. Like that's what causes us to be in poverty is by having people with access to power maneuver the machinery of state in ways that deprives us of wealth, right? So, and normally I channel my inner anti-conservative because I'm really often more disgusted by the right. But for whatever reason that day, I woke up disgusted with the left because I was just like, you know, liberals make me, and actually if you look on my page and you look at like two posts before that, I had said that liberals were just as insufferable, if not more, than conservatives. And I don't know, for whatever reason. And, you know, I guess it might be startling because typically you hear me critiquing the right. And for whatever reason, that day I was critiquing left-wing ideas. And that's one of them. This idea that freeing the market is only good for the wealthy is absolutely bogus. The wealthy are the people, the 1% right now have gotten that way by falsely calling the market free, but actually accessing the power of state to hoard wealth unto themselves. And so a lot of times we see people expressing themselves in the rhetorical language of revolutionary, trying to achieve a radical outcome on the left, but in fact advocating state power as the vehicle for doing that. So like these wealth redistribution schemes, that is actually identical in practice. It's the same thing. It's just a new group of people who would be at the top of that pyramid. So it doesn't do anything to imagine a world where nobody is subservient to anybody else. All it does is try to maneuver a new people into being subservient to a different new group of people. So it just tries to flip power around, but it doesn't actually try to actually have us all be equal in opportunity, right? So that's why I woke up that day and, you know, those were the critiques that were coming out, right? There's nothing revolutionary about just wanting to use the machinery of state to harm a different group of people. And actually, there's no equality in that. You can't just pick out a group of people and demonize them using really, you know, rouse the anger of the masses and then direct that anger at a group that you don't like. I mean, that's what they did to gay people. That's called oppression. That's called creating a political enemy and then using disgust or animosity towards that group for your own gain, for your own, you know, to gain wealth and power for yourself. That's what that's all about. And so we see liberal politicians doing that just as much as we see conservative ones doing it. So sometimes they will use religious they'll use religious imagery to invoke your anger. Or, you know, on the left, a lot of times they'll use mistrust of, like, they'll use animosity for the same purpose, but it's the same. Oh, I'm just going to pause and take a breath. Do you have a follow-up question?
Well, not necessarily, although if I can, I guess, offer a retort, somewhat of a retort, because there's a lot in which you said that I agree with. You know, obviously I agree that, you know, the a lot of the 1%, the wealthy, however, whatever phrase you want to use, you know, have used, you know, the power of the state to consolidate their wealth. I mean, you know, look at the expansive tax breaks offered to wealthy corporations, et cetera, et cetera. Once again, using the power of the state to consolidate their own wealth, you know. So I definitely agree with that position.
Well, wait, hold on. So taxation is done by power of state.
Right.
So if they make more money through a tax break, then where is this money that they're actually getting through state power coming from? It's because they're taxing other people, right? So they're not paying a tax, but they're stealing money from others.
Right.
So the answer to that would be to stop taxing people.
Simple enough, I suppose.
So there's the disconnect, because when you demonize it in terms of a tax break, that they're using state power. Yeah, the reason why is because they're only giving a tax break to certain people.
Exactly. That's my point. They're using state power to get favors. That's my point.
I know, but that's what I just said.
I know. I said I was agreeing with you.
Well, but you... Okay, giving a tax break is not a use of state power. It's a relieving of state power. We need more tax breaks, not less. And that's where the disconnect is. Because people on the, there's a certain group that will use that. Okay, I guess I should have let you finish your statement. But we, a lot of times we hear that train of thought leading to the conclusion that we should tax the rich. And that instead of leading to the conclusion that we should stop taxing the poor. You see what I mean?
And I'm more in favor of not taxing the poor because I'm poor and I don't have any money.
Well, right. But if we all stopped getting taxed, then where would they get all the money to build the bombs? But if they told us they were really going to build bombs with it, then we wouldn't consent to it. So they're telling us that they're going to, like, you know, feed starving people in Africa, or, you know, they're going to give single mothers more food, or whatever it is that they're like trying to say that they're going to do, but really they're just stealing money and giving it to people who build bombs, who happen to be their own golfing buddies.
I was say, if you notice, anytime a politician, be they a Democrat, Republican, what have you, talks about, you know, we need to make cuts to government, they never make cuts to all those billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars that go into the war machine.
Yep, that's pretty much the case.
You know, and the strange thing about that, and I actually read an article about this just the other day, you know, even the Pentagon, you know, even the Department of Defense is saying, quit spending money. You guys are building a ship we don't need.
Right. Duh.
Strange things, I suppose.
Duh.
Well, speaking of politics, I take it you're still running for president?
No, I'm not running for president.
Why the hell not? I'd vote for you.
Well, just...
I mean, rest assured, the Libertarian Party has ballot access here in the state of Indiana.
Well, you know, I mean, I just... All right. Well, talk to me again later this week after I have another bipolar mood swing. And, you know, the answer might be yes. But as of right now, I'm just kind of looking at everything and I'm just going, why would I put so much energy into this thing that just like, it's not that it doesn't matter because it does, but it's just, you know, humanity. Okay. I'm watching, I guess I have a sense of history and, you know, the more time that passes in my life, the more I realize that it's not going to happen in my lifetime. And it was really irrational for me to think that it would, when I can observe that actually thousands of years have slowly gone by as humanity has so gradually emerged from the jungle, right? And so civilization has taken so long to get to where we are now. And I have a lot of hope for our future. I know that we'll get there. But the way things are right now is the way that they are. Tomorrow will be better than today, but only imperceptibly so. And a year from now will be a little better. Maybe 10 years from now might, you know, a little bit brighter. The reality is that, you know, there isn't going to be a magic. We're never going to wake up tomorrow and be liberated. It's going to take, you know, centuries more. And so it's not that I don't care. It's that the amount of light that I can, you know, reflect back into this world, you know, through using my voice is limited. You know what I mean? I wouldn't win as president. Not that winning is the only reason to do it, but I've put a lot of effort into this movement, a lot of already. And, you know, I'm not unwilling to continue being an advocate. I mean, it's part of who I am. I wouldn't even want to stop. But like, as far as throwing myself, I guess, at the state just continuously, it's like, I'm starting to see, it's not that it's, I don't mean the futility of it. Like, it's not futile. Like, we should all lift our voices and keep going. But it's just, I guess, it's a concentrated use of my talent that is just, I don't know, it's just not where I want to put all my time. Running for president, like, give me a break. If I won, I wouldn't want it. I don't want that job. Look how fast their hair turns gray. Look how shitty of a job it is. You know what I mean? And for all, what would happen, like, all right, really? You want to know what else? I really think, should I pause for you to get, I'll pause for a moment, but I have one more thought after that.
Well, yeah, well, you can go ahead.
All right, so I really, really think the concept of a leader as a servant is really important. We're supposed to live the democratic ideal is that power flows from the bottom and that government serves the people. So, I don't want to really be servant to a bloodthirsty group of people that thinks bombing people in the Middle East because towel head, or, you know, who thinks that a wall is a good idea. And I'm just looking at the popularity of ugly ideas like that. I don't want to be in the situation where my job is to pull the trigger on something that is literally that heinous and evil. I mean, I suppose there's the argument that if I did get elected, then obviously there would be a majority of people who were into the message of peace. So there is that too. But I don't want my hands dirty with it. I do not want that blood on my hands. I do not want to be in charge. And of course, the president's not really supposed to influence policy. That's really supposed to come through the legislatures. So if the president's doing their job right, then they aren't making decisions. That all of those decisions are supposed to go through the House and the Senate, and then the president just carries them out. So I don't really want to carry out the things that might come. You know, I have no control over that, and nor should I want to. That's not the president's job. The president's job is to execute the legislation that comes out. And yeah, no. What if they passed a law that said I had to bomb somebody and I didn't want to? I would have to go against my own ideal of how government should operate. It would be a conflict of interest. It would be an ethical quandary for me that I don't want to be in.
All right. Well, we're going to get to some more music here. The nurse definitely brings up a lot of good points. You know, I certainly want wouldn't want my hands dirty with the blood of innocents either, which is probably the reason I'm not running for president. Well, that and I'm too young to run. But in the meantime, here's some Woody Guthrie.
If you'll gather around me, children, a story I will tell about pretty boy Floyd, an outlaw. Oklahoma knew him well. It was in the town of Shawnee, a Saturday afternoon. His wife beside him in his wagon, as into town they rode. There a deputy sheriff approached him in a manner rather rude. Vulgar words of anger, and his wife she overheard. Pretty boy grabbed a log chain and the deputy grabbed his gun. In the fight that followed, he laid that deputy down. Then he took to the trees and timber to live a life of shame. Every crime in Oklahoma was added to his name. But a many a starving farmer, the same old story told, how the outlaw paid their mortgage and saved their little homes. Others tell you about a stranger that come to beg a meal. Underneath his napkin left $1,000 bill. It was in Oklahoma City, it was on a Christmas day. There was a whole carload of groceries come with a note to say, well, you say that I'm an outlaw, you say that I'm a thief. Here's a Christmas dinner for the families on relief. Yes, as through this world I've wandered, I've seen lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six-gun and some with a fountain pen. And as through your life you travel, yes, as through your life you roam, you won't never see an outlaw drive a family from their home.
I like that. Who was that?
That's Woody Guthrie.
Oh, did you say that before the song started?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, you know, who actually pays attention to you? Clearly not I. All right. Sometimes I do pay attention to you, but only for like brief moments of time in between. Like, you know, when you're asking me questions about myself.
You know,
just kidding.
Sometimes I wonder if your dick is as big as your ego.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Oh, I'm sure there's photos around.
Well, now, okay, now you know the real reason I can't run for president.
Ha! I knew it.
So, I guess I never really did finalize who would be slut, but I suppose I could just make that person we talked about them.
All right, I was going to say, you want to do slut?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right.
Okay, now it's time for my favorite part of the show. We're going to talk about girls that we don't like.
All right, so I'll give you three hints. He has a really bad toupee. He has been leaving a trail of bankrupt businesses behind him, probably not quite as long as the trail of blood that would be left if he did become president. And he wants to build a big, fat, expensive wall on the southern border. And if you didn't get it after that, then you've obviously been living under a rock and you wouldn't recognize any name that I said, no matter what. So since I really don't ever want to hear this person's name again, I'm completely sick of everything about him. And I mean, God, it's only, we've still got a year and a half left of this shit. So let's just go ahead and cue the music and then we'll shout his name and then he'll be done. We'll be over him.
Slut of the week is 2, 3, 4. Slut.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
You are tonight's slut.
Donald, you're the slut.
Bye bye. Oh, and one more thing. You're fired.
All right. Well, and it looks like we have a caller on the line. Maybe they have something to say about our slut of the week.
I don't have anything to say.
Oh,
can you hear me now?
Well, we can
hear you.
Well, I thought I knew I was going to do something about kink, not about Donald Trump. I'm sorry, that hair is too hideous. But instead, I actually found something about something a little closer to my heart, but that's a little, I'm rambling instead of bombing. My God, what has become of me?
It happens. It happens.
I can do something very beautiful and ancestor related. I can do something very love struck, or I can do something about kink.
What's but you revealed yourself.
Huh?
I said, but you repeat yourself. Aren't those the same thing?
Being love struck and kink and my ancestors? I'm pretty sure that BDSM, my spiritual life, and my great-great-grandparents are completely different.
Well, if you were to spiritualize, you know, necrophilic acts, as perhaps some cultures have done in the past, then yeah.
So, Kim, how are you? Nurse, you're fired. You can't see it, but I did the gesture, and you're fired.
I'm laughing so hard I had to mute myself for a minute. Okay, I'll mute myself again some more and you guys can determine which art and I'll just listen to it.
Yeah. What are these things for breaking you out of the asylum?
What?
One of these days, you know what? One of these days the freaks are going to take over the asylum and it's going to be a sweet, sweet time.
Oh, yeah. So what, well, I guess since the nurse is being weird tonight, or at least weirder than normal, I'll let you go ahead and pick. Hell, you can even do both pieces if you want.
Oh, hey, I actually had three. I found one that's kind of beautiful. So here's a little backstory. It ties into my family. I was going to do one of two pieces that I had written. However, I found one by Pam Rio. I really hope I'm pronouncing that right. Yesterday, I was able to take a trip to the, before the dedication, they do open houses for Mormon temples, and they do a lot talking about family. And then I came home today and found out that I had access to my ancestor books, which apparently some of my family has done. I didn't know families did this. And so there's a lot of family around me right now. So kink doesn't quite seem to be the right way to go, which is very strange, because normally I'm always up for something that involves spanking. So this is by Pamela Rio, and it is called I Won't Forget You. Many days have gone by, turned into years long ago. I reach for my album because I long for you so. As colorful leaves descend from a majestic family tree, that moment is captured, becoming a photographic memory. Ancestors on tintype, images frozen in time, so we know who they are, have been passed down the line. Black and white prints of grandparents, now yellowed by age, in the book of life, this collection forms the next page. Snapshots of beautiful young women, a man with eyes of sky blue, soon became parents of a baby daughter and of little boys, too. Because of these treasures, my link to the past, memories of my loved ones, forever will last. And when a dear friend asks me my life story to impart, I'll show her my inheritance, the people who lived in my heart.
Oh, that was sweet.
Well, thank you, Mad Poet Bomber.
It's all right. I'm just telling myself really, really, really distressing jokes that would be inappropriate for the public. So I'll just leave that to your imagination.
Oh, well, I think we're going to get to some more music, and then I know it's a bit early for a segment, but why don't we see what Miss Debbie DeMere's up to?
All right. Do you have her number on hand?
I don't. I was kind of hoping you did.
Oh, I'm not moving from my throne. I am comfortable. I have my boots up. I'm not moving. You'll have ping her on Facebook and get it yourself.
All right. I do all the goddamn. In the meantime, here's Sun House with Death Letter Blues.
I got a lemon this morning. I do. You rang it red. You said, honey, the gal you love is dead. I got a lemon this morning. How do you ring it red? Hurry, hurry, I call the gal you love is dead. Oh, I grabbed up my suitcase, took out down the road. When I got there, she's laying on the cooling board. I grabbed up my suitcase, I said, I took out down the road. I said, but when I got there, she's laying on the cooling board. Well, I walked up right close, looked down in her face. It's a good old gal got a day, the judgment day. I walked up right close, I said, I looked down in her face. I said, the good old girl got a day and a judgment day. The back of the 10,000 people standing round the burying ground. I didn't know I loved her. Tell her, let her down. Look like 10,000 almost standing on the burying ground. You know I didn't love her. Tell her they can't let her down. Well, I'm full of mom. I slowly walked away. I say, farewell, honey. I'll see you judgment day. Yeah. Oh, yes, I walked away. I said, farewell, farewell. I'll see you judgment day. You know, I didn't feel so bad till the good old sun went down. I didn't have a soul to throw my arms around. I didn't feel so bad until the good old sun went down. You know it's so hard to love someone don't love you. Ain't satisfaction, don't care what you do. Yeah, it's so hard to love someone don't love you. You know, look like it ain't satisfaction. Don't care what you do.
Well, I got up this morning to break a day, just hugging the pillows she used to lay. I said, soon this morning, yes, to the break of day. You know I'd hug the pillow, oh, how my good gal used to lay. From a shoe, you know I must have the walking blues. Soon this morning, I'm feeling out from my shoe. Yeah, to know about that, I must have the walking blues. Oh, hush! Thought I heard her call my name. It wasn't so loud, so nice and plain. Yeah.
Yay.
Yay for Delta Blues.
Yay! You know, out of all the queer podcasts in the entire world, I am willing to bet money. Of course, not that I really have much money to bet in the first place, but that we play better music than any of them.
Well, hell yeah, we do. That's guaranteed. And we also have better guests.
We do. And we have both the... both the most glamorous and the most filthy and disgusting hosts.
What could be better?
What could be better than having both extremes? Just the nursiest and the gimpiest.
Well, oh, it looks like we have a caller.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, welcome to the asylum.
Hello, darling.
Ah, it's Miss Debbie Demure, speaking of Debbie. The fabulous.
Hey.
Hi.
You don't sound so peppy tonight.
Well, play my intro music and then I'll tell you why. So, last night I went to my college reunion, and if you say anything, head nurse, I'll slap you silly, but...
Nothing would change.
Yes, I don't think they were too happy when I finally stopped their whole entire program and just said, and sang a little show tune, and I said, there's got to be something better than this. There's got to be something better to do. And when I find that something better to do, I'm going to get up. I'm going to get out. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get out and do it. And I left.
Wow.
Was it
really that bad?
It was a pretty sad bunch. I mean, they were telling old stories. You know... I'd already told a couple of stories. We had done Annie, the musical, and we had gotten an Equity Dog, and every time that it went on stage and Little Miss Annie would sing, "The sun will come out tomorrow," it would just start licking its balls every single show.
That sounds like something the Gimp would do.
Yeah, I've actually thought of the Gimp. Except he's not Equity.
Well, and I don't really have the flexibility to lick my own balls. Not that I've tried.
Well, we can always have you cut them off and just have them by the side of the desk to lick anytime we want you to, right?
Those are my balls, man.
Those are my balls.
We could have you do an Olympic event where you have to stretch them.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Oh, come on, man. I've already done the muff thing.
I could ask you to cut off your tongue instead. At least I left you keep your voice. I just emasculated you.
It would be like, instead of the Little Mermaid, the Little Gimp. And
you, the both of you can go to hell.
Aw. Well, I do kind of, one of us, either me or the head nurse, would definitely have to fit the Ursula part.
Well,
probably the head nurse.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, out of all of the villainous divas, she's near the top of the chart. So I wouldn't mind being Ursula. If I had to be one, I would be potentially her. Her or Cruella?
Yeah, well, and one of mine used to be Maleficent instead of that husband-stealing tramp played her in a film. So...
Oh.
Yeah, don't even mention her name. She's dead to me. Sit on it. I mean, she's not even that pretty. One of her eyes is bigger than the other one. I mean, like, one of her areolas is just the nipple, and the other one is, like, the size of a fried egg.
That is disgusting.
I don't even want to think about that. I think the one that is just a nipple is the one that her brother constantly sucked on while he was growing up.
Ew! Gib! Why are you allowing this?
Hey, you know, we believe in freedom of speech here on the asylum.
And so association.
I almost picked the slut of the week as my motard. And I had a really tough time because I didn't know if they were really stupid or they were really brave. The LGBT individuals in Sweden that are doing their parade through, these Muslim neighborhoods. And I decided that they were both stupid and brave. Because it's very brave for them to stand up and say, you know, we're queer, we're here, we're not going anywhere. And your religious persecution is irrelevant in the 21st century, right? But I thought it was also very dumb of them in the fact that some of them could be seriously hurt, but that's what happens when you fight for liberty sometimes. And some of those within those communities that are not tolerant and that are, you know, on that fringe, the same way as those of the Westboro Baptist Church and the crazy, some of the crazy Christians we have, which I don't really want to call them Christians once they do that, that they could actually might know who some of those people were, might work with them, and might actually seek to hurt them at a later date as opposed to when the march happens. But my motard this week is former First Lady, former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. I guess I should say Democratic presidential candidate.
Hopefully, yes.
And the reason
and
she's
even
my
bigger
most
villain than Ursula.
Yes, she is a bigger villain than Ursula because she's actually real. So the reason I picked her was, you would think it was because she said, black men in hoodies scare a lot of us. that was pretty bad. But at the same time, I thought, you know, maybe that, there probably are some people out there who, just because somebody is black or Hispanic or even a man, that they're scared of them, whether they're in a hoodie or not. The reason I chose her was because she said that being a woman gives her merit to be president. She played the vagina card. I'm just saying.
Oh, my goodness.
She just put, or the clit card, whichever one you want to use.
Wow.
She said, I've got a slit, and so therefore I should be president. Well, that doesn't give her merit. Being a woman doesn't give you merit any more than being a man does. Does it give her a different perspective or a different viewpoint on issues? Certainly. But if that's the reason that someone should be president, I should be president. Because as a gay man, I have a different viewpoint. I have a different perspective. But that's not a merit. Me being a gay man is not a merit. Me being a libertarian is not a merit. Although a lot of times, those stances and the principles that I have as a libertarian are merits, but just being a libertarian is not a merit. So she is the motard because she had the audacity to even play the card. Right? We already know you're a woman, Hillary. Although I do believe that her balls are bigger than Bill's.
And you're using that term very loosely.
No, very loosely.
JJ pun intended.
No, yeah, none at all.
But I'll just piggyback on what you said by pointing out that Ursula is actually prettier than she is.
Well, and I mean, Ursula also shows a little cleavage.
My eyes!
And Ursula's tentacles look like a dress, whereas Hillary's tentacles are all pulled up inside of her. And we don't really know how many she has because of the pantsuit. I think she's learned to walk on multiple tentacles out of each side.
She has them grouped up in like little tentacle ponytails and like legs.
Right. And then when, you know, when somebody comes near, it's kind of like instead of a vajay there, there's just this big gaping hole that has that huge parrot pincher to destroy anything and everything that gets close to it. Ah, the Republicans, crunch, crunch, crunch. Ah, the rich, Wall Street. Oh, Wall Street, leave them alone till they give me the money, then crunch, crunch, crunch. I mean, don't you just see that? I mean, she's the type of person that I would think would have no problem eating a small child.
Absolutely not at all.
I mean,
not at all.
Earlier this week, I saw something and somebody said that the Democrats would still vote for Hillary if she killed a puppy. Live on TV. And I said, no. They would not still vote for her if she killed a live puppy. She's smarter than that. But if she killed a small child, they would still vote for her.
I mean, she has actually killed small children as Secretary of State, right?
Yes. So
there's that.
I mean, she has blood on her tentacles already.
Yep. And her beak.
Her beak is dripping in gore. Does the GIMP have anything to say today?
I'm just letting you go on with your depraved fantasies.
I don't know how depraved that is. I mean, have you seen her lately?
I think he's a closet Hillary fan.
You hold your tongue, nurse. You filthy bitch. I will not stand such slander.
Maybe she's got one of her tentacles up his ass already and using him as a puppet.
Oh, wiggle it, baby. Wiggle it.
Wiggle it. Just a little bit. Just wiggle a little bit.
Yep. Ew.
I really think, as much as I know that the GIMP respects Bernie Sanders, I actually think that Bernie Sanders is being used by the Democratic Party to make Hillary not look so bad to the general public. Because, of course, there are people that are going to jump on board and think that and believe that what Bernie is saying is great. And Bernie does make some points and make some valid points. I think his solutions are where he ends up falling short, in my opinion. You know, you just with the same way that y'all talked about the cat tax code and tax loopholes and things. I mean, that's where Bernie falls short. What he expects is probably pretty awesome. It's just the ways and the means that he expects to accomplish that don't work economically, and definitely don't work when you talk about a free market. So wow. With all of that, with everything, and with Miss Hillary Clinton, God forbid, maybe Madam President, couldn't you just die? With all of that and my motard, I think I'm going to slip into something a little more comfortable, like my husband.
Well, thank you for chiming in as always, Debbie. It's always great to hear from you.
Ooh, Debbie was on a roll tonight, wasn't she?
She was.
I am never going to get the image of Hillary Clinton's tentacled beak out of my brain. That was just, oh.
I think I'm definitely going to need to down a pint or two of straight Everclear to erase that particular memory.
Her octo beak. Her military-grade nuclear beak.
Nurse, shut the hell up.
So how far are we in here? How much do we have more music left? What's going on?
Oh, we got a shitload of music left. You want me to play some more songs?
Yeah, I do. And you know, since I'm lounging on the couch and I'm not lifting a finger, I'm not even lifting an eyelid to actually look at the clock. Can you just give me an idea of how much time we have left?
We got about 20 minutes.
Plenty of time to bask in how awesome I am and how depraved you are while I listen to some music.
Here's Warren Zevon.
We'll be right back. too, down at the 7-Eleven. Gentle rain falls on me, and all life folds back into the sea. We contemplate eternity beneath the vast indifference of heaven. To me now, I've got memories to raise me. When the sky is gray, the way it is today, I remember the times when I was happy. Same old story, same old tune. They all say, someday soon, my sins will all be forgiven. A gentle rain falls on me, and all life folds back into the sea. Eternity beneath the vast indifference of heaven. They say everything's all right. They say better days are near. They tell us these are the good times, but they don't live around here. Billy and Christy don't, Bruce and Patty don't, they don't live around here.
Yay!
All right, well, you just want to keep the tunes rolling since you're just laid out on the couch, just all relaxed.
Yeah, let's just do that.
All right, well, we're gonna keep it rolling.
Uh-huh. I was gonna make small talk, but if you have enough music, just fill up the time.
Yeah, we still got plenty of records, and here's another one coming up. This is DC Punk Legends Teen Idols with Adventure. Son of a... keep the hard stuff rolling. Here's another punk number. This is Sissy Fist with Love Yourself with Both Hands. I think we got time for one more hard rocker before we get to the Metal United Against last call. So for our last hard rocker of the night, here's Pussy Riot with Mother of God, Drive Putin Away.
Черные рясы, золотые погоны, все прихожане ползут на поклоны, призрак свободы на небесах.
И правит, отправит Сибирь катана!
Глава КГБ, их клоны святой, ведет протестующих с новым конвой. Кто бы следящего не оскорбит?
Женщина муж дрожать и любит!
Oh,
черных лимузинов в школу к тебе идет провалить.
Иди на урок, принеси ему денег.
Подряд гудя и верит Путина лучшему бога, сука верил. Поезд тело не заменит митинга.
Ты протесты с нами, представь его Мария.
And there was our grouping of some hard rock and roll as we, well, as the nurse slashes us toward the end of the show.
Well, I'm actually, I went ahead and got up and came and sat at my computer, so I'm at least in a vertical position now. Sort of.
Well, whatever, I suppose. Well, we got about 10 minutes left, and as everybody knows, that's time for the GIMP's last call, and as usual, we're going to end it on a mellow note. So here's alt-country band Dab Iron covering East Virginia Blues.
I was born in East Virginia, North Carolina, I did go, where I spied a fair young maiden. And her name I did not know. I don't want greenback dollar. I don't want your silver change. All I want is your love, darling. Won't you take me back again? Another by your side, and I thought I heard you tell him that soon you'd be his bride. And I don't want a greenback dollar. I don't want your silver change. All I want is your love, darling. Won't you take me back again? Cheeks were rosy red. On her breast she wore white linen, where I long to lay my head. And I don't want a greenback dollar. I don't want your silver change. All I want is your love, darling. Won't you take me back again? The sun refused to shine, then to see you with another, when you promised to be mine. And I don't want a greenback dollar. I don't want your silver change. All I want is your love, darling. Won't you take me back again?
Yay!
The music from the sound game tonight seems like the nurse was happy with the records tonight. Of course, it's a bloody miracle that the nurse is happy with anything. But you got a few minutes, nurse. You got a final rant for anybody?
Well, you know, even that broken clock is, even a gimp is right once a show, right? Or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just going to, you know, actually something I was scrolling across my Facebook page and I noticed something that it crossed my mind earlier when we were talking about Hillary Clinton and her V-beak. And because I was like, I'm thinking there was some reason why, because I briefly considered her for a slut of the week. And I forgot why, and now I remember why. So, and I had seen this, and I didn't even read the whole article. I just reacted to the headline. The person that brought it to my attention is someone I trust. So I'm just going to read the headline again and react to it again. So the headline says, private prison lobbyists are raising cash for Hillary Clinton. And here's why I think this is so slutty. Well, because she is using lesbians as stage props in her videos, and she is totally suddenly campaigning on the backs of the LGBT community while she's taking money from these prisons where our people are raped and murdered at incredibly high rates, where they are incarcerated when they flee here from persecution, when they try to get here to safety from places where they are being thrown off rooftops or where they are being hunted down in the streets, like in Russia. You know, those people come here and they get thrown in immigration detention. Hi, you're getting raped and murdered and sent back, whatever. You know, same thing happens here. You know, you're sex working, dealing drugs, whatever it is, you're doing that. Well, you were hurt, nobody, but we put you in jail for it. And now, you know, top it off, if you're not getting raped and murdered, you're in solitary confinement, which is considered a form of torture, for your own, quote, protection. And yeah, she's raking in the bucks from it. So I just find that particularly, you know, I mean, speaking of tentacles, that is the kind of thing that we're talking about. So yeah, that's my final rant. She is just, she's a vile human being. She is everything that anybody who gives a shit about liberation should be fighting against. She is absolutely just as wealthy and well-connected as any other member of the 1%. She, I'm preaching to the choir. At least one thing we're blessed with on this show is an audience of people who can see through those lies. And so I'm grateful for that. But, you know, we've got an uphill battle. So make sure you get out there because, I mean, she has a lot of our people deceived, right? And not just our people, but members of other communities as well. I mean, and let's face it, we're all humanity is one big giant community. Like, you know, we can see ourselves as, you know, GSM people, or we could just see ourselves as people. And the bottom line is if this person is deceiving people into supporting her so she can, you know, murder more people for money, then that's something we need to raise awareness about. So, you know, I mean, obviously we have a special voice within GSM people. We can get the word out in a way that might not be trusted from other portions of society. And so I think a responsibility goes with that, you know. Earlier I talked about, you know, I used the word and then I backed away from using the word futility because it's not futile. Like we do have to, use our voices, you know, and just because, I don't think running for president itself is the best use of my activist energy, or just because I feel, you know, burnt out sometimes, it doesn't mean that like in the long run, I don't recognize the incredible responsibility that, I guess I can only speak for myself. I would like to see others take a similar interest in feeling responsible for, but I can say that I do feel responsible for, you know, continuing to put my energy into some form of activism or another. So, I don't miss a chance when Hillary's name comes up to tell people what a vile, disgusting, murderous scumbag she is. And I hope that you will too.
Well, you know, Nurse, you know, you might not be interested in running for president. I don't qualify to run for president, but you know, it takes all tides to make a revolution, and no effort is insignificant.
Hear, hear.
All right, well, we're ticking down to about the last minute or so of the show. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next Sunday, same time, same place. Until then, I've been your loyal sound gimp.
And I am the most glamorous woman in the entire world and the queen of all media. Oh, and the mistress of deep thoughts and cheap shots, Head Nurse Mikester.
We'll see you next week for another episode of the Rainbow Asylum.
Ladies,